Hi there, welcome. I'm Stephen Baker, and you're listening to my Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. Seek the Truth is a Bible media site bringing to you truth you can trust exclusively from the Bible. Really good to have you on board, to have you listening. We have a couple of items, as we always do, thinking about the Bible and Christianity and how that relates to us. First one coming up will be about, do you realise that actually history records a lot of things about the Lord Jesus, and the historians were not Christians, so they didn't have a vested interest in proving their point. Second item we're going to think about today is, do good deeds save me? In other words, is it being religious, being good, getting it right, going to church, ticking the boxes, is that what gets me to God, or is there something else? I know it's a bit unusual, but we are going to have another live question in this recording as well. The heading is, does saying you're a Christian make you one? A lot of people say they're Christians. What does that mean? And we'll have a think about that. So, listen in, let us know what you think. I hope it helps. Did you know that many, many historians, as well as the biblical historians, record the life of Christ? Flavius Josephus was born in 33 AD. He was the commander in the Galilean military, and he writes a passage called The Identity of Jesus, passage 1 in Antiquities 18.33. This is what he says. About this time there lived Jesus, a wise man, if indeed one ought to call him a man, for he was one who wrought surprising feats and was a teacher of such people as accept the truth. This guy wasn't a Christian, that's what he wrote about Jesus. Cornelius Tacitus, who lived in 116 AD, writing in Annals Circa, said this: Christus, the founder of the name, had undergone the death penalty in the reign of Tiberius by sentence of the procurator Pontius Pilate. The record of his death. Marabar Sarathion, a Syrian philosopher, says this in 70 AD: what advantage did the Athenians gain from putting Socrates to death? Famine and plague came upon them for a judgment for their crime. What advantage did the men from Samos gain from burning Pythagoras? In a moment the land was covered in sand. What advantage did the Jews gain from executing their wise king? It was just after that their kingdom was abolished. God justly avenged these three wise men. Now, whatever you think about his views about Socrates and Pythagoras, it's just really the historical record about the death of Jesus we're referring to. What about the darkness that covered the land of Palestine when Jesus died? Well, Thallus, 52 AD, writes in the third book of Histories, he challenges Julius Africanus when he explains the crucifixion darkness as an eclipse of the sun. This is what he says: a solar eclipse cannot take place at the time of a full moon, and it was at the season of the Paschal full moon Christ died. Just read that again. A solar eclipse cannot take place at the time of full moon, and it was at the season of the Paschal full moon Christ died. So he says there was an unnatural darkness. The crucifixion of Jesus was recorded by Justin Martyr in 150 AD. He informs Emperor Antius Pius, "They pierced my hands and my feet," in Psalm 22:16, refers to the nails which were fixed in Jesus' hands and feet on the cross after he was crucified. His executioners cast lots for his garments. There's Justin Martyr, an external evidence to the crucifixion of Jesus. Lucian of Samosata, a Greek satirist, says this: the Christians you know worship a man to this day, the distinguished personage who introduced the novel rites and was crucified on that account. It was impressed upon them by their original lawgiver, and that they were all brothers from the moment they were converted, and deny the gods of Greece and worship the crucified sage and live after his laws. It's that line at the end where this man Lucian of Samosata says they worshipped the crucified sage. Finally, what about his resurrection? Back to Flavius Josephus in 66 AD, says this: about this time there lived Jesus, a wise man, if indeed one ought to call him a man, for he was one who wrought surprising feats and was a teacher of such people as accept the truth. He was the Messiah. When Pilate condemned him to be crucified, those who had in the first place came to love him did not give up their affection for him. On the third day appeared to them restored to life, for the prophets of God had prophesied these and countless other marvellous things about him. Did you know external history supports the Bible? Take the Bible seriously, I suggest, for it is the Word of God. Hi there, you're listening to Life Questions. Question this week is, do good deeds, do the things that I do, get me to heaven? Do they save me or bring me closer to salvation? Someone has actually said, good deeds have nothing to do with salvation, and they also have everything to do with salvation. Well, that's a bit confusing, isn't it? Two answers to the one question. Nothing to do with salvation and everything to do with salvation. Well, on the face of it, as you read the Bible would be pretty clear that good deeds actually cannot make you a Christian. Let me read to you what it says in Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the Bible is saying that God gave his law to make us aware of right and wrong, but it doesn't give us the power to do what is right. We are incapable of living to God's standard. So by the deeds of the law, by the actions of trying to obey what the law says, no one can be justified in God's sight. No one can be right, can be holy, can be pure in God's eyes by their efforts to do what God has said. So you say, well, that's a pretty dumb thing. God gave us a standard, but we couldn't live up to it. Yeah, well, the Bible says the law was given to demonstrate our flaws and to point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was like a schoolmaster. It was like someone who was guiding us and directing us to point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the law makes everybody be quiet, every mouth is stopped, and the world becomes guilty before God. So our good deeds don't actually make us any better before God. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 2. It talks about how a person becomes a Christian, and it says, not of works. So it's really saying to us, I'm just turning to the passage here in Ephesians chapter 2. It says to us there, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if a person becomes a Christian, it's the result of God's kindness to the person. Christians are not squeaky clean, goody-goody two-shoes, people who do everything right and get everything right before God. Christians are sinners who admitted their sin and accepted Jesus Christ as the one who could save them, forgive them, cleanse them. So writing to Christians in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. God's grace is him dispensing and giving to us the good things we don't deserve. And we're saved from his judgment, from punishment, through faith. We trust him. We trust his son, Jesus Christ. And just to make sure we're in no doubt, he clarifies it and says, and that not of yourselves, in case anyone would get big-headed, anyone would boast about it. Not of works. So God works in a person's life. He brings them to the point where they realize that they're a sinner. Realizes that they're wrong. They realize they're wrong. They confess their sin to God. Not to a priest, not in a church. They confess their sin to God, and they accept that Jesus, he paid for their sins on the cross. Christ died for our sins. Now, nobody's perfect, apart from Jesus, of course. He was holy, he was harmless, he was undefiled. So God, in his word, has made it very clear that by good living, religious practice, good behavior, we can't redress the balance. Even our righteous things, our good living stuff, is like filthy rags before God. Nothing to do with salvation. Someone says, well, it's got everything to do with salvation. What do they mean? Well, what they mean by that is this, that you can't see the evidence of a person being saved unless they do good things. So in other words, it doesn't save you doing good things, but it's the proof that you are saved. It's the evidence you got the business sorted out. It's the evidence that you came to God and accepted his forgiveness, and he changed you and he blessed you. So James writes in chapter 2, verse 18, I will show you my faith by my works. I will show you that I've really trusted Christ by how I live and what I do. So salvation, good deeds never merit salvation. We cannot earn it. We do not deserve it. We're not perfect. But God expects perfection because he's holy. We've sinned and come short. But Jesus, he died. Christ died for our sins so that he would offer to us eternal life. And when we trust him, he changes us, and he wants to see the evidence that we're changed in how we live and how we behave. No, good deeds cannot save you, but God can. So here's the life question for this week. Listen carefully to this statement. Does saying that you are a Christian make you a Christian? That's my question. Does saying that you are a Christian make you a Christian? What made me think about that was two guys in the news this week, Hugh Jackman, who's an actor, and he says this: I'm a Christian. I used to go to different evangelist revival tents all the time. When I was about 13, I had a weird premonition that I was going to be on stage like the preachers I saw, he said. And he goes on to talk about, I'm a religious person and I dedicate each one of my performances to God. Now, I'm not saying he's not a Christian. Don't pick me up wrong here. I'm not saying he's not a Christian, but I'm asking the question, does saying you're a Christian make you a Christian? Here's another guy, Jurgen Klopp, just been appointed as the manager for Liverpool Football Club, and he's reported as being a believer. He says that his faith is something he's open to talking about, and he says it was, in his mind, almost impossible to be a believer and not to talk about it. So he says he's a Christian. He says that he has a relationship with God and so on. He's not a missionary. But he says, when I look at me in my life, I take time for that every day and I feel I am in sensationally in good hands. So my question then, am I a Christian because I state that I'm a Christian? So I had a little look to see what the Bible has to say, because we're better to go than the Bible to see what it has to say about Christians. And I noticed that the very word Christian wasn't used immediately after or during the lifetime of Jesus. Acts 11:26 says, and when he had found him, this is Barnabas looking for Saul, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So a Christian is a disciple. Well, Jesus, he defined a disciple. So if a disciple equals a Christian must do exactly the same as a disciple. And a disciple was someone who did what Jesus taught. Jesus said, he that hears these words of mine and believes in him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not be condemned, shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto life. So Jesus, he had a number of things he said a disciple should be. So if a disciple equals a Christian, a disciple should love his fellow disciple. A disciple should be obedient to the Lord Jesus and to God. A disciple will be a learner. A disciple will be hated because of his following of Jesus Christ. That's quite an interesting one, isn't it? Then I also noticed in the book of Acts, you got to chapter 26. Let me just take you there. Chapter 26 in the book of Acts and verse 28. And there's a guy called Agrippa. He's a king. And he says to Paul, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. And Paul had preached to him, and he preached him about Christ's suffering and rising from the dead and showing light to the people. And he'd really spoken to him about the fact that Christ died for our sins, and that we needed forgiveness, we needed peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. So this man was being persuaded, or maybe he was being sarcastic, but he said, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. But the point here is a Christian isn't born as a Christian. There's a persuasion, there's a decision that has to be made to turn from your sin, to change your thinking about God, to come and trust in Jesus Christ. My last reference is in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 6, and it says this. I think I've maybe got the wrong one here. Let me just try and find the right verse here. It's probably, but basically it talks about a person suffering as a Christian. Yeah, there we are, verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So Christians will suffer for their faith at times. So that's quite a serious thing, isn't it? So there we are. Are you a Christian? Would you claim to be a Christian? Would you want people to know you were a Christian? Would you make that statement? And if you do, like these two men say that you're Christians, has there been a point when you started to follow Christ? When you ceased from being a sinner, you repented of your sin, you let him save you, change you, and bless you. It's a wonderful thing to follow Christ. I hope you would think about this. You've been listening to Stephen Baker on a Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. More information and contact details can be found on my webpage, seekthetruth.org.uk. Thanks for listening. Come again soon.